So happy to have you along here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Hi, Larry Mueller here. We're going to start the program today by talking with you about recycling electronics. I don't know about you, but I have, I'm thinking about what we might have in our home and what we've had in the past year, certainly television sets, computer, probably some other things as well that needed to be or we would love to have recycled. And I think they're sitting in the basement right now because we haven't had a place for them. And I hate to throw them out into the trash. And there are other ways we can do that, as we'll find out today when we visit with our two guests, Cynthia Moore, Recycling Program Coordinator with the Bureau of Waste Management in our Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources. Cynthia, welcome back. Nice to have you with us.
Thank you, Riff. Thank you very much for having me here today.
And Jim Cornwell, who is CEO, Chief Executive Officer of CRT Processing in Janesville. And Jim Cornwell, welcome to the program.
Thanks for having me.
Appreciate it very much. How big a problem is this? I mean, how much electronic waste is out there, Cynthia?
There's a lot. I think if anybody just looks around their household, you'll be amazed at how many electronic equipment, pieces of equipment you just have and you use every day. We've done some sort of general estimates, and one estimate of how much could be discarded in any particular year is about 37,000 tons of electronic equipment. Now, that includes all the electronic equipment. So that's not the computers and the televisions. And, Jim, I think you did a little bit of analysis on this and tried to come up with something that's more meaningful than 37,000 tons.
For people to get a better understanding on how big of a problem this is, I try to equate this type of volume to something that people can actually visualize. And the 37,000 tons or 74 million pounds a year equates to about 3,100 semi-loads of electronic equipment that's being generated each year that is no longer useful and needs to be discarded.
And it winds up, a lot of it can wind up in our landfills.
It can. You know, the state's been working very hard on educating the consumers on proper management, and I think they've been doing a very good job.
Well, tell us about CRT. How are you helping this eliminate this process or problem?
Well, CRT started about 4 years ago. We developed a piece of technology to process CRTs, or picture tubes. CRT stands for cathode ray tube. And this process separates the different types of chemistries of a picture tube, removes the coatings, and actually allows the manufacturers of picture tubes to reuse this cullet and replace the raw materials. So they not only save cost on purchasing the raw materials, but they also save about 30% of the energy cost by melting this recycled cullet versus the raw materials. Now, each picture tube, color picture tube, may contain up to about 4 pounds of lead. So it's been really important as the DNR has been educating the public on why we want to remove these things from the landfills, because we don't want to see all this lead and other heavy metals end up there, which could cause potential problems long term.
Yeah, get down into our groundwater or whatever. And you started with the cathode ray tubes, but you've kind of expanded as you...
We really have expanded over the last few years. A lot of it's been from our customers requesting us to handle more materials. You know, we started focusing strictly on glass recycling, but over the course of these years, we've handled now everything as far as electronics go, from consumer electronics to computers, microwaves, televisions. If it has a circuit board or a power cord, we accept it at our facility.
Oh, yeah. Amazing. Let me give the number, by the way. I haven't done that. If you'd like to join in with your own questions or comments, you are most welcome to do that. Here's the number to call. If you're in the Madison area, you can reach us at 263-1890, 263-1890, and anywhere else it's toll-free at 1-800-642-1234, 1-800-642-1234. Give us a call if you have some questions or comments. What's the law in Wisconsin regarding this, Cynthia?
It's a great question. I often get it. Do I have to recycle? What do I have to recycle? Under Wisconsin law, there's no legal requirement now for households to properly recycle their used or discarded computer and other electronic equipment. However, we very, very strongly encourage them to do that. As you said, as Jim pointed out, the cathode CRT alone contains about 4 pounds of lead, and there are also a number of other toxic materials that are contained in computers, mm-hmm. such as mercury, cadmium, chromium, bromated fire retardants, all sorts of things that we really want to keep out of the environment. So we strongly encourage communities to residents to recycle, and we've had very, very good response on that. There are a number of communities that will sponsor local collection programs, or a number of clean sweep programs around the state that will collect your computer. So there are a growing number of opportunities for individuals to recycle. Businesses and institutions, on the other hand, are required under state law to either handle hazardous material, the waste material, as a hazardous material, or recycle it properly. Therefore, businesses and institutions should, under state law, recycle their computers, at least the cathode ray tubes. If you're going to be recycling your monitor, you might as well recycle the complete setup, because all the setup contains toxic materials that we want to keep out of our environment.
And so, and typically, how do businesses do that? Do they go to places like CRT then, Jim, or?
Yeah, we go out and work with businesses throughout the state and throughout the country on educating them on the proper recycling, and we'll work with them and set up a contract to process their materials. And we get calls literally from California to Boston down to Texas on companies that are looking for proper management of all types of electronics.
And you actually do some pickup then, too.
We do. We have trucks running across the country every week.
Boy.
Now, last year, we processed a little over 24 million pounds of electronic equipment.
Holy cow. Did you ever think 10 years ago that this was the business you were going to be in?
I really had no concept at the time of how big a business this would be.
Oh, my goodness. Well, Harriet Madison has a question, so let's go to Harriet. Hi, Harriet. Thanks for calling.
Thank you. I am wondering what to do with the light bulbs that we are using that are energy efficient and all that. They're fluorescents, and I don't know where to... They tell me not to discard, so I'm hanging on.
Okay. And Harriet's house is filling up with fluorescent light bulbs here, and a lot of other people, if they're as good about things as she seems to be, she's hanging on to them. What do we do with those, Cynthia?
Well, Harriet, first, I'm delighted you've asked this question. As you know, residents and even institutions, businesses are strongly encouraged to use the more energy-efficient compact fluorescent bulbs, which definitely save a lot of in terms of energy, but they also could pose a potential hazardous risk if improperly disposed of. While it's not legally required to recycle them, they would not theoretically, under our determination, be categorized as a hazardous waste. We do strongly encourage you to recycle them. Residents, businesses, and institutions, again, must recycle these. To find out where to recycle, the best way is to contact your Public Works Department in Dane County. Go on to Dane County Public Works. There will be a number of sites listed where you can recycle them. Also, focus on energy. If you go on computer and just Google focus on energy in Wisconsin, they also have a list of different outlets, retailers throughout the state where you can take these for recycling.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Okay, thank you.
Thanks very much for calling. Don in Appleton, your turn. Hi, Don.
Hi. I have a question. We have similar to another caller, several TVs and monitors that we need to get rid of in the Fox Valley area. And the question is, where can I take those?
Okay, the Fox Valley.
Well, if you're a business, there are a number of companies within the state that collect and recycle electronic equipment. None come to mind right in the Fox Valley area. But you can contact our company, as well as if you go online to the DNR website, and Cynthia, maybe you can give that out. They have a listing of a number of electronic recycling companies that can be contacted. If you're a household, there most likely is a household collection event at least once a year in your area that they would be collecting those electronics for you for free or for a small charge.
And that would be to go through the... Public Works as described to the Harriet who was prior?
Correct.
Mm-hmm.
And Jim, I can give the address for our recycling markets director if you'd like me to do that, or if you want to do that at the end of the show.
Yeah, I can do it right now.
Okay, there's the one way is just to go to the DNR homepage, which is dnr.wi.gov, and you can look under an index and look for the recycling markets directory. If you want the long address, it's dnr.wi.gov/org/aw/wm markets.
I'd go the short route if I were you, Don.
I think I'll do that, and I've got it on my favorites for DNR. So
okay,
I'll
cool.
Go there.
All right, thanks, Don.
Thank you.
Appreciate it. Larry in Kingston, your turn. Hi, Larry.
Hi, thank you for taking my call. I have a lot of old boom boxes and stereo equipment. You know, that stuff is so cheap, though. You wouldn't take it in to get it fixed because it probably costs more than what it's worth. So what would you do about that?
Boom boxes. Do you handle that kind of thing,
We do,
Jim?
Actually. We handle a lot of consumer electronics. So in some weeks, we may see palletfuls of boom boxes or microwaves. You know, all this type of equipment does contain circuitry, which has a lot of lead solder on it. And as a household, you are not mandated by the state to recycle those. But because of the heavy metals associated with that circuit board, we do recommend that those be recycled.
And if... And do you go around, how do you do this on a consumer basis? Can people bring things to you? Or you go out and...
We, in most cases, consumers drop off at our facility. I know other recyclers across the state have drop-off events and as well open up their doors during normal business hours for consumer drop-offs.
How do you go about the... Well, it would probably take you days to explain... basically how you'd go about deconstructing a boombox and making it reusable, but is it a meltdown process?
It's almost like a reverse assembly line where we're literally tearing down the piece of electronic equipment down to its original commodity components. Plastics of different types, ferrous metals, non-ferrous metals, and then glass from the picture tubes. And all those components, once you break them down and separate out all the materials, can be recycled. About 97% of everything comes through our facility can be recycled. And really, the only limits we have, we see a little bit of difficulty finding outlets for some of the old the wood from the old council televisions.
Oh,
as
sure.
As well as some of the packaging materials that really don't have recycling homes for yet.
But now, as I think about this, if you're deconstructing that, there's a lot of jobs there then, too.
We employ almost 90 people today, and we have plans to grow even more this year.
So not only is it are we getting some recycling here for people like you, you're also supplying a lot of jobs in a community.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Well, Larry, thank you very much. George in New Berlin, it's your turn. Hi, George.
Yes, good morning. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
Ironically, I'm in the process of taking apart an old Macintosh.
Mm-hmm.
And my question is, do you have any publications out or directives that would tell how to erase a hard drive before you recycle it?
Well, we don't have any publications per se, but there's really three forms to properly erase a hard drive. There's software that you can download off the internet for free.
Yep.
That will wipe the hard drive clean to ensure that none of that information can go into someone else's hands. There's also a system called a degaussing system, which magnetically wipes the information off the drive. The third option is to physically destroy it, either through shredding or I've seen people run screws through it just to ensure that it cannot be used again.
This brings up an interesting point, I think, in that for many of the businesses, one of the prime interests or one of the things that's really motivating them to recycle their material properly is the concern about data security.
Mm-hmm.
I think we've all heard a lot of stories here in the last few years of how companies that were trying to properly recycle their equipment totally forget about managing the information on the hard drives. And in a lot of cases still today, a lot of electronics are being sent overseas because it's a cheaper place where what they'll do is they'll harvest the value from the copper or the precious metals. And the things of no value, such as the picture tube or the other materials that contain hazardous components, ends up into the ditches. And they found in a lot of cases the hard drives that came from businesses not only from Wisconsin but throughout the country were ending up in China and in Africa, where that information was actually going into the secondary market. And you really want to be sure in this day and age that the information is protected.
Yeah, absolutely. And as you say, you can. There's free online. You can get some free software, and
As well, many, many businesses, many recyclers here in the state and across the country offer that service to ensure that it's done properly.
And you can even go to your retail store and buy software if you're like me and somewhat challenged in downloading software off the web.
Thanks, George. Thanks very much for calling. We're talking recycling electronics today with Cynthia Morris. Cynthia is the recycling program coordinator with the Bureau of Waste Management and our Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources, and also visiting with Jim Cornwell. Jim is CEO of CRT Processing in Janesville, and visiting with them about recycling electronics. You can join us at 1-800-642-1234 or in Madison at 263-1890. I'm Larry Mueller. Keisha Mabra, our on-air producer, and you are listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Talking recycling electronics with Cynthia Moore of the DNR and Jim Cornwell of CRT Processing in Janesville. Pleased to have them along. And again, if you'd like to join in, the number 1-800-642-1234 or in Madison at 263-1890. Jim, we talked earlier about the DNR website. You have a website as well, do you?
Yes, we do. You can find our website at crtprocessing.com.
crtprocessing.com.
Yes.
Okay. Well, I'll tell you what, Jared in Fitchburg has a question for you, so let's go there. Hi, Jared.
Hello. I think you may have answered part of my question just as I was getting the phone adjusted, because I'm concerned about recycling a computer, and one of the things I thought about was just taking the hard drive out of the computer and smashing it, just to make sure that it would be fairly secure and nobody get the data. On the other hand, the computer as a whole may be useful, and I don't know where the cutoff is as far as age of computers being useful as a whole computer as opposed to as parts.
Yeah, the technology today is changing so fast that it's really hard to put a point as to what's still considered useful and what's really at end of life. Obviously, if it's a Pentium 4 computer, there's still someone, whether it's schools or some other nonprofits, that would be very happy having a Pentium 4 or even a high-grade Pentium 3. Once you get any lower than that, I would highly suggest looking at an option for recycling. Mm-hmm. As far as destroying the hard drive, again, at the very least, if you could take it out and beat it with a hammer, it's going to prevent most people from attempting to recover that information.
So how do you know what processor you have?
Well,
do you have any idea?
A lot of cases, you'll on the front of your computer system, it'll identify it as either a Pentium 2, Pentium 3, or Pentium 4 system. And you can go on to the BIOS of the system, and I'm not as computer literate as I wish I should be, but you can go through the BIOS, and it'll tell you the speed and the configuration of your computer system.
How old is it, the one you have, Jared?
Oh, it was purchased in 2000. It runs Windows 98 just fine, but I don't think it can go beyond that.
It's probably a Pentium 1 system.
Yeah, yeah. So it's outlived its
useful life.
Useful life.
Yeah, it's a magazine rack at this point.
Yeah.
Piling up on it.
Okay. Not quite.
All right. Thanks, Jared. Thanks for calling. Roberta in Lake Geneva. Your turn. Hi.
Hiya, Larry. How you doing today?
Good.
I have one quick question. When your guest announced the three ways to destroy a hard drive, he did not mention just using the system's disks to reformat. Does that do a good job, or does it leave information on the hard drive?
I wouldn't recommend just using that. If from a really technical perspective, someone who's really knows their way around a computer can find information even if you go through that process.
That's what I thought you were going to say.
Yeah.
So your best means is once you've decided that hard drive is no longer useful, you want to ensure that the information is protected. Downloading software off the internet, purchasing it through one of your local retail stores, or at least physically destroying it to prevent someone from trying to gain access to that information.
Okay, thank you so much.
All right, thanks a lot for calling. I've heard the term glass-to-glass recycling, Cynthia. What's that about?
That's what Jim was talking about earlier when he processes the glass from the CRT, which does contain the majority of the lead in the computer.
Yeah.
And through a chemical process, or Jim can explain it better, you actually remove the glass, the lead, and the other toxic materials from the glass, and then you can return the glass to an industry that can actually use that glass to remake it into
Actually, what we're doing, it's not a chemical process. It's an aqueous process. Mm-hmm. We don't remove the lead because the lead is part of the matrix of the picture tube. And so what we're doing is we're separating the picture tube by different glass chemistries. There's different types of glass mm-hmm. used for the panel, the part you view, as well as the funnel. And the funnel portion of the glass is where the majority of the lead is found. And our process, once we separate those two different types of glass chemistries, we remove the graphite and iron oxide and phosphor coatings to make it almost look like a window pane type glass. At that point, glass-to-glass process refers to our glass cullet that we generate from recycling all these picture tubes gets sent back to the CRT glass manufacturers. And they use that glass as a raw material substitute to manufacture new. So it's protecting the environment on their end because it's not using raw materials that have to be harvested out of the ground. It's using a recycled cullet. And again, it also saves a lot of energy costs in these big manufacturing mm-hmm. plants because the melting point for the recycled cullet is so much lower. It's about a 30% energy savings for them.
Okay. Jim, do you know about what percentage of the glass then in a new computer monitor is recycled? What's the recycled content?
Well, for right now, it varies a little bit from manufacturer to manufacturer. Across the board, most manufacturers are averaging about 40% recycled cullet in the manufacturer new CRTs. In working with them over the last 3 years, they believe they can get up to about 80% recycled cullet.
Wow.
In their process before they have to top off. And so there's a long ways to go before there's concerns about not having a large enough market to process this glass.
Yeah. And I'm wondering, just from your standpoint, you got a business, there's got to be some hazard associated with separating all this stuff out.
There really is. The biggest concern we have, because we're dealing with glass, is a safety issue to our employees because the glass is very sharp. And it just takes one small error and someone could get a cut. So, we have a health and safety consultant we work with who comes each week, and we do constant training. Personal protective equipment is a constant concern, and so we're always looking to upgrade our equipment to protect our employees as much as possible.
Yeah, I would think. Okay, Jeff in Green Bay, it's your turn next. Hi, Jeff.
Hey, how's it going?
Good, thanks for calling.
Hey, I actually work for Radio Shack, and a lot of people don't know, we recycle cell phones, and we also recycle rechargeable batteries. All you got to do is come in and drop them off. The cell phones go to victims of domestic abuse because any old cell phone can be used to call 911.
Very good point. And Cynthia, comment from you?
I think it's great. We're really finding that there's an increasing number of opportunities to recycle your cell phone, so no one should have an excuse as I can't recycle my phone, so I'm going to just throw it in the landfill, because there are opportunities. And over 72% of Wisconsin citizens have a cell phone, so that's an awful lot of cell phones out there.
Yep, that's for sure. And so Radio Shack will take your old cell phone.
And pretty much any of the dealers in cell phones will recycle them, and there are many other opportunities also.
Thanks, Jeff, for calling. I appreciate it very much. And the batteries, too. I like that idea as well. So rechargeable batteries?
Definitely, rechargeable batteries. There are many, many opportunities to recycle. Again, go to your retailers. Many of them will have drop-off box for rechargeable batteries.
And really, all batteries today can be recycled in one way or another.
Okay. Rick in South Range, we'll turn to you next. Hi, Rick.
Hi, good morning.
Morning.
We have done, I think, a very good job of replacing most of our incandescent bulbs with compact fluorescents. There's an occasional place where we haven't been able to, but this has left us with an enormous stockpile of these 40, 60, 75 watt incandescents. And even unfortunately, because we stocked up over the years, we've got boxes of brand new ones. Mm-hmm. I don't have a clue what to do with them. If I give them to someone else, that's kind of counterproductive. If I throw mm-hmm. them away, it's certainly wasteful.
Yeah.
What do you think?
All right, Cynthia.
Well, again, I would suggest that you contact your local public works, because they should be able to inform you of outlets where you can recycle those incandescent bulbs. You can also go to our recycling markets directory on the website, and I just suggest you go to our main website, which is dnr.wi.gov, and under the index, you can look for Recycling Markets Database, and we do list over 300 companies in Wisconsin and around here that will take different recycled materials. But often your local public works would be the best information locally.
Yeah. Jim, comment?
I think as well with the incandescent bulbs that are still brand new in their packaging, while it may seem a little counterproductive to put these back into market, there's probably a lot of nonprofits that would be happy to take those and still be able to use them. Reuse is still the number one choice.
Okay. All right. Thanks, Rick.
Sure. Thanks.
Yeah, I appreciate the call. Ed in Wausau, your turn. Hi, Ed.
Hey, thanks for the program. I've got an old microwave that I purchased when microwaves first came out. It's bigger than a 25-inch TV.
Yeah.
I use it to support a card table. But how do you recycle those things?
Well, again, for most households, the household hazardous waste collection points would be the first point to look at, to contact your local county official to find out when those collection events occur. Most of those collection events would take microwaves as well as all other types of electronic equipment.
Yeah, and microwaves are one of the materials that are banned from disposal in Wisconsin landfills. So throughout the state, as he said, you can check with your public works and all that. There should be some system to help you assist you in finding a recycling outlet for them.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you.
All right. Thanks a lot for calling. And Bob in Winona, Minnesota, your turn. Hi, Bob.
Hi, Larry. I have an idea on those incandescent bulbs. You know, the biggest inefficiency in those incandescent bulbs is that they generate a lot of heat. Just set them aside and use them in the winter when you need the heat in your house anyway.
Why not? All right. Thanks, Bob. Thanks for calling. You can join in, too, by the way, at 1-800-642-1234. 1-800-642-1234. Or in Madison at 263-1890. Give us a call. Is that true, by the way? Is that the heat generated? Is the amount of electricity about the same for an incandescent versus a fluorescent? I don't think so.
No. Well, the amount of electricity used by a compact fluorescent or a standard fluorescent is quite a bit less than a standard incandescent. That's why you start seeing not only the state, but on a federal level, the push to replace incandescents with compact fluorescent lamps.
Mm-hmm. Hard to do that in radio studios because of the hum that you get off fluorescent bulbs. That's why every radio studio has incandescent lighting for the most part. otherwise, we get a little hum sound electronically somehow. And thanks very much for calling. Appreciate it. Again, you can join us at 1-800-642-1234 or in Madison at 263-1890. And visiting today with Cynthia Moore from the Department of Natural Resources and with Jim Cornwell, who is CEO of CRT Processing in Janesville. You know the website for the DNR. And again, Jim, what's your website? CRT is?
CRTprocessing.com.
CRTprocessing.com. Wondering about I just blanked here suddenly. Oh, thermometers. Somebody had a question about the old thermometers and wondering, how do you, is there any mercury in thermometers anymore? I don't think there is.
Not in the new digital ones.
Obviously.
The old amounts. Mercury thermometers obviously had a small concentration of mercury, and I know the Wisconsin DNR has for the last 6 to 8 years had programs for the collection of thermometers and other mercury-containing devices from households to try to round up the mercury concentrations and get them properly recycled so they don't end up in our landfills.
Yeah, that makes sense.
And again, if you still have one of the old mercury thermometers and want to find out how to dispose of it properly, you again, guess the best bet, and I feel like I'm sort of repeating myself, is to contact your local public works. And they can direct you to outlets. Many times clean sweep programs collect them, and many times in communities have special collection programs for them.
Let's go to Brad in Berlin next. Brad, hi to you. Thanks for calling.
Hi. I just wanted to touch on a couple companies that we've been using to recycle alkaline batteries and electronics. One's called the Big Green Box. You can find it on the Internet. And it's an outlet for recycling alkaline batteries, as well as reusable batteries, rechargeable, and computer ink cartridges and that type of thing. And you can purchase the box, you fill it, and then you send it back and they recycle it. Another one is the Green Disc, which is a similar program where you receive a box in the mail and you fill it with hard drives, computer discs, DVDs, anything electronic related that basically will fit in the box and then send it back to recycle.
All right. Thank you very much for calling. Do you guys do something similar to that, Jim? Or do you...
We have a number of corporations that send us hard drives for proper destruction, as well as we have what we call a CRT pack, where we send out it's the size of a cubic yard box, and it actually ships out with UPS and FedEx. Customers can fill it full of electronic equipment, and then we send a truck to pick it up within 48 hours. And we offer that program nationwide to our customers.
Wow.
I think one of the points that's brought out in what Brad was saying is that there are new companies coming up all the time to respond to the growing demand to be able to properly recycle of your equipment, and mm-hmm. all types of equipment. And on the one hand, it's very exciting because you really see a market response to this increase in demand. The other time, there are certain questions you probably should ask your recycler just to make sure that they are properly taking care of this material. And I know it's one that we deal with. We get a lot of questions from people who are looking to recycle their computer. How do I know it's a good recycler? And I hope at some point during our discussion today, Jim will get a chance to talk about some of the questions that he thinks a consumer or a business should ask their recycler just to make sure they're getting to a legitimate recycler.
Sure. Well, Jim, why don't you go ahead and...
Thanks. Well, I think first off, I think companies as well as households should do a little bit of due diligence on where they send their information or their computer electronics. Because of the concern for data found on hard drives, you want to make sure that the information is going to be properly destroyed. Today across the U.S., over 50% of the equipment that's sent off for recycling still ends up in countries like Africa or China, where it is not properly managed. And there's a lot of companies claiming to manage this material where all they're doing is taking off one truck and putting it on a sea container and sending it overseas. And no household or no business wants to be associated with having their electronic equipment end up in the wrong hands. So we really recommend anybody that, at least from a business perspective, coming out and doing a site audit for the facility that's going to manage your equipment. You want to ensure, do they have the proper environmental permits? Are they inspected by the state? Who is the contact for the state agency so they can do a follow-up and ask questions? Is the company operating under the guidelines of the state of Wisconsin? Can the company handle the type of equipment they're wanting to ship to them? You know, some companies specialize in certain aspects of the recycling market. Some focus more on asset management, where they try to clean up the material and remarket it back into the secondary market. Others specialize in just in end-of-life destruction. So you want to ensure that the company you're sending the equipment to is going to properly handle it and have the type of equipment and the systems in place to manage it properly.
And finally, you want to make sure that they are indeed, their downstream markets also. Often a processor will sort out the equipment and then they'll send it on to another market that will actually do some further processing of it. You want to make sure that even their downstream markets are properly handling the material and not just then
Absolutely.
Sending it off overseas.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a certain amount of due diligence.
Yep, there is. Larry in Knife River, Minnesota, your turn. Hi, Larry.
Hello there. I'm curious about, we're talking about a lot of recycled materials. Does anyone there know the percentage of families in the United States that have computers?
No. I know in Wisconsin we did a survey and we found that 80% of our households have at least one computer. 22% have at least two computers. And what was really staggering for us was not only the high number of households that have computers, but that there is no distinction anymore between rural and urban. There were equal number of computers in rural households as in urban households. Televisions was a staggering 100% or maybe 99.9% of households have at least one television, and the average in Wisconsin is three televisions per household.
That's Thank you.
Amazing, amazing numbers. All I'm thinking about, we've got three or four television sets in our home, and computers, I think we have one, two, three, four. We have five computers, and there's only three of us in the house.
And I'm sure you look around with microwaves, DVD players, VCRs, the list goes on and on. We've really become accustomed to being a high-tech society, and I don't know if we could operate without all these gadgets anymore.
Thanks, Larry, again for calling. Appreciate your call very much. Well, we're getting down near the end of the program here, and I want to go back to Jim for a couple of minutes again and talk about what, let's say, me as I'm a consumer here, and I'm in Madison, and or maybe I'm in Superior, and I've got a lot of stuff that I'd like to get rid of, and I'm wondering if you can handle it. What's the procedures?
Well, most customers will contact us and we'll present information on our process and pricing for our services. And at that point, once everything is in order, then the customers will either package the material in boxes or on pallets and we'll send a truck to pick it up, or we'll even offer the service where we'll come in and package that material for them and collect it into boxes and then ship it off site.
Mm-hmm.
So for households, then, you know, it's more of a matter of finding a convenient point for dropping off your electronic equipment. Most people want to do the right thing and manage this type of equipment properly.
Sure.
They just want to find a convenient point where they can drop it off locally. So,
and more communities are offering either one-day collection events. The Madison area, if you're in the Madison area, has two collection events over the year that are extremely well attended. And I know many, many other communities around the state do have collection events.
And there's usually a small fee associated with, if I'm not mistaken, if you bring in items, your per item, there's some little fee.
Generally for the community events, they're free except if you bring in the CRT, the monitor, because there is a cost associated with recycling in that. And the cost for the CRT can range from $5 to maybe $10 or $15.
Yeah, I think we must have taken a monitor at one point because I remember paying $5 for getting rid of that properly. But that's a small price to pay.
It's a small price to pay. And for me, it's so encouraging to see the number of people that attend these events and how happy everybody is. It's a really good feeling to know that you're doing the right thing with your unused electronic equipment.
And so once again, you can find out a lot of information at the DNR website within the Bureau of Waste Management. I'm sure that's the place to go, Cynthia. And if you want to find out more about CRT processing in Janesville, it's crtprocessing.com. Thank you both very much. We'd like to do this again sometime.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
Thanks very much. Jim Cornwell is CEO of CRT Processing in Janesville, and Cynthia Moore is the Recycling Program Coordinator with the Bureau of Waste Management in our Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources. Fun having them along. It's really great to see companies like CRT and also our state agencies like the DNR working to try and minimize the amount of waste in our landfills and also save us energy and save us money in the long run, because it's going to mean cheaper products for us too if we can recycle those properly, and certainly with the kind of technology we now have and are developing, I think it's only going to get better. So appreciate having them along. Coming up, we're going to be talking about investing. You want to know some strategies, or maybe you just want to understand how to invest? Frank Armstrong from Investor Solutions, Inc. will be our guest next, coming up here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio.